Hey there, I'm Duarte Giraldino, and you're listening to The Takeaway. There's a significant update to a story we've been telling you about on the West Coast. This week, California's largest utility company, Pacific Gas and Electric, announced it will plead guilty to 84 counts of involuntary manslaughter and one count of unlawfully starting a fire. Now, these charges stem from a 2018 campfire. 85 people died because of that fire. Roughly 14,000 homes were destroyed in Northern California. And last May, investigators determined that the fire was caused by one of the company's power lines. Now, this plea deal still needs to be officially approved, but the terms include paying a $3.48 million fine, as well as up to $15 million to provide water to residents who previously relied on a canal that was damaged during the fire. And while all those millions of dollars is a relatively small amount for PG&E, the company is still in financial trouble. In January of 2019, it filed for bankruptcy. For more on this, I'm joined by Marisa Lagos. She's a politics correspondent for KQED. Hi, Marisa.
Hey, how are you?
So, Marisa, you've been closely following this story. Was this guilty plea expected to happen?
I wasn't that surprised. Unlike some of the previous fires that PG&E had set, this one everybody sort of acknowledged from the beginning was likely sparked by their equipment. It had become clear that the district attorney was investigating, and quite frankly, they need to clear this type of situation up before they can exit bankruptcy, and they want to do that by June in order to access this huge insurance fund that the state of California set up to essentially protect them from future bankruptcies. So it's not shocking, but you know, anytime you have a company like this big pleading guilty to this many counts, it does raise some eyebrows.
So Marisa, one of the things that was interesting about this particular case, while the company is being held accountable, specific individuals or employees who are, in theory, in the driver's seat were not. Why is that?
Well, most of them are no longer with the company, I would say, if we're talking about executives. What the district attorney in Butte County, Mike Ramsey, told us is that essentially the equipment that failed, the C-hook that wore down, was a century old, and that it had really been deteriorating for five decades or so. And so they didn't feel like they had the ability to go back and charge individual PG&E employees because there were so many people over the last 50 years who had dealt with the equipment. I think this is not unusual in these types of corporate prosecutions, right, where we see a fine levied and even maybe, these criminal charges. PG&E's already on probation, I should mention, for a previous gas line explosion, felony probation. We have not seen in this case, or I would say many other corporate prosecutions, actual employees held responsible.
So, what are people who were directly impacted by the campfire saying about the terms of this particular deal?
You know, I think that there is some gratitude to the DA and officials that they did go after PG&E for this type of prosecution. But I think when you look at the fine amount, $4 million for this, multi-billion dollar corporation, there's some anger. We talked to a woman named Patty Savage, my colleague Lily Jamali did, who lost her home and now lives in Chico, down the hill from Paradise. And, she feels like this is a slap on the wrist for them, that they are essentially getting away with this because to them $4 million is such a small amount of money.
Now, Marisa, this isn't the first time PG&E has gotten into legal trouble for causing wildfires. Does this plea deal complicate any of the other cases the company is involved in?
Well, the bankruptcy court is going to have to approve this, and so that's obviously part of that. I think the more interesting question is how this federal judge, William Alsup, who's been overseeing PG&E's probation stemming from a 2010 gas line explosion. That was in a neighborhood south of San Francisco. It killed eight people, and they've essentially, under the terms of that probation, been told not to break any other laws. Well, we know in this case and actually in a couple other fires that they set, they have been found guilty of that. So Alsup has been pretty activist in terms of trying to really push PG&E towards more safety investments and other sort of measures that he thinks will keep people safe. So I'll definitely be watching to see if this changes the terms of that probation or anything that Alsup expects of the company next time time there in his court. But there's certainly a lot of players here. Butte County has to approve this. So does the bankruptcy court. And just last week, we saw Governor Gavin Newsom in California sign off on PG&E's broader bankruptcy plan. So there are definitely a lot of people watching this who I think are going to be interested in if anybody brings up any huge problems with the settlement, the plea settlement, which I haven't seen yet.
So what is that broader deal with the governor? What's involved in that deal?
Yeah, so this is really interesting. As I mentioned before, there's this $21 billion insurance fund. And so essentially, in order to tap that money, the governor and regulators have to sign off. So on Friday, they announced a deal, essentially where PG&E is agreeing to overhaul its board and operations to not be paid dividends to stockholders for several years, and to this process that would essentially let the government take over PG&E if it doesn't get out of bankruptcy by June 30th. And really, I think, give it some leverage even after that bankruptcy exit to sort of have both a carrot and a stick in terms of if PG&E doesn't kind of hold up its end of the bargain in terms of safety investments and looking like a brand new company, Newsom and the state would have a lot of leverage to kind of come in and force them to.
But how likely is that scenario?
I don't think we're going to see the state take over PG&E in something, unless something really extraordinary happens. And by that, I mean, you know, another devastating fire or some really big missteps at the company. But I think it's important that for the first time you have a governor who's really exercising his power over this utility. You know, this is even predating the 2017 fires, as I mentioned, a company that had been through a lot of issues 10 years ago. And so what we've seen is a real hands-off approach in some years by state regulators. And I think the fact that you have a new chair of the State Regulatory Commission that was appointed by Newsom and a governor who hasn't been shy about exercising his role in this whole thing in itself means that there's just more oversight than we've ever seen before.
And briefly, as temperatures warm up and the wildfire season approaches, how prepared does the state seem, especially given the coronavirus outbreak?
You know, I think we're all going to be really holding our breaths and hoping for a little bit more rain in the coming months. We had a very dry February. But, you know, it certainly stands to reason that if we are all still self-isolating at home and it's wildfire season and we have to have these public power shutoffs that PG&E did before to try to prevent fires, that things could look very tricky here come late summer, early fall.
Thank you so much. Marisa Lagos is a political correspondent for KQED. Thanks, Marisa.
My pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.